But today we're going to talk out of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, about God's protective love. If you look at the outline that the authors have given us, it reminds me of something my grandmother used to say. Most people would attribute it, Sister Vanessa, to improper English. But after studying today's lesson, Steve, I realized that she knew exactly what she was talking about. She would say very properly, "Do not act. Know how to act when you're in public. Know how to act. A-C-T. Act." But when you went in public and did not act appropriately, Sister Bowman, she would say, without reservation, "You acting the fool. You act like a fool." Now, I know she know how to say act, because she told me how to act. But why is she saying act? Because the wrath of Rose was about to come down upon you. And since you act the fool, you need to accept the situation, you need to change your thinking, and you ought to know that I love you. Act, A-C-K. You need to accept the situation, you need to change your thinking, and you need to know that I love you. Such it is in chapter 2, where Jonah has acted the fool. He's acted the fool. And you know how I know? Because in chapter 1, we saw him being told very distinctively, "Go ye therefore and preach to this nation." And he says, "I ain't going to do it. I'm going to run." So this disobedient prophet runs from God and had to suffer the consequences. Because at the end of the lesson last week, we found out, and God had prepared a big fish to swallow up Jonah. And so it was, Sister Harris. Jonah, in his disobedience, is suffering the consequences. Because we read last week, at the beginning of the lesson, I mean, Terry read very eloquently, and we had Sister Samson here to tell us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin, is death, is separation. And we had Brother Terry read that, "Where shall I go? If I go to hell, you are right there. If I ascend to the heavens, if I," verse 8 says, "if I fly, take wings and fly out to the sea, you are right there." So there's no escaping the consequences of disobedience. And so we saw at the end of last week's lesson, he was swallowed up in the belly of a whale, in the belly of a big fish is what it says. Now, y'all can speculate and imagine you ran to your concordances and study material and tried to find out, you know, is this story Jonah really literal or what? Well, I can only go by what's in the book. The book says all scripture is inspired of God, literal or not. All I know is that most of the Old Testament is typology. I shared with you last week. It's types and shadows pointing to Jesus the Christ. And there are many, and Jonah in a literal sense is like Christ. In other words, they share some commonalities. Except as we examine the scripture and we determine, we realize one thing. Being like does not mean that you are. Okay? You, many of you are like, just like your mama. But you ain't your mama. You be just like her though. Now, Jonah is in a big fish. That's what the book says. He's in a big fish. And if you don't, if you have problems, believe, well, you know, I normally go along with the Bible, but I don't see how nobody can be in a whale and live. I mean, I ain't seen one today. When have you ever seen? Folks, it still happens. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there were a number of occurrences in the early 20s where people were swallowed by typically two types of whales, sharks. One's called a whale shark, Randon typicus. Then there's a little bottom shark. Big, huge. And they found all kinds of stuff in these guys. They found whole cows in a whale. Reindeer in a whale. They found people in a whale. E.V. Palmier, 1926, famous French scientist, swallowed up by a whale. 2 days, found him alive. In the early 1900s, many recordings. They found grown men, sailors, who have fallen overboard. And a couple of days later, they find a whale shark, kill him, cut him open, and the sailor be right there, unconscious, but alive. One found unconscious, alive, been there a day and a half, and 3 hours later was on his way home from the hospital. With God, anything is possible. And it says that God prepared a fish. So God did this. This is a God thing. God, now I don't know why he did it with the scientists and the sailors and why people survived and all of that, but there's a purpose in everything that God does. These two particular type fish, and they, most people agree that it's one of, or the other, have no teeth. So if you're worried about the teeth and all of that, they have no teeth. And they have the canning ability, and what they do is that they open their mouths, their jaws very wide, and they fly through the water. And then they kick out all the water, and whatever's left in there, that's what they consume. And typically, what they found out, scientists found out, that just before that they are about ready to expire, they will regurgitate whatever the contents of their stomachs are. So, whether you believe science or God, it really doesn't matter. Because God is who he is no matter what you believe. And God said, here's what God said, Terry, I prepared a fish. I prepared a whale shark, a bottom shark. I prepared one of them because Jonah was in disobedience and running from me, and I need him not to act a fool. Right. As a matter of fact, I need him to act like a prophet. I need him to accept his situation. I need him to change his ways. He's going to Nineveh, and I need him to know that I still love him. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we could take from this very short Sunday school lesson here this morning, is that even when you mess up, even when you act a fool, all right, God still loves you. I don't know how that blesses you, but I know how that blesses me. Because I know one thing, I'm subject to act a fool. I mean, it don't take much to have me act a fool. And if it doesn't take much for me to act a fool, I know it don't take much for you to act a fool. Here Jonah, a prophet of God, Sister Bowman, he's a prophet, and he's in disobedience. And now he's in trouble. I want you to hear, in chapter 1, the thing that was brought out in this lesson, that just blessed me. Even the man of God, when the ship is being tossed and turned, did not cry out. Steve, he didn't cry out. The sailors, the heathens, cried out. Says, hey, let's have a prayer meeting. And Jonah said, I ain't going to no prayer meeting. Said not a word. Ain't went nowhere. But oh, in the fullness of time, when the time is right, you may be acting bad now. You may be doing your own thing now. You may be healthy now. You may be without affliction now. You may have it going on now. Your finances may be good now. Your health may be great now. Your situation, your marriage is at the top level right now. But oh, in the fullness of time, when you just keep on being defiant, God will put something down on it. He ain't Millie Jackson, but he'll put something down on it. And he'll bring you down to your knees. And here he is. He's not on his knees, he's on belly, knees, face. Can you imagine being in anything? Being tossed, and this whale still running through water. All this water, he'll describe it to you in a minute. Jonah is in trouble, and he's in trouble of his own doing. And that's just like most of us. If I look at the number one reason that a lot of us are in trouble, it's because of something we done. It ain't because of what somebody else done. It's because of what we've done. Verse 1 and 2, read for me.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly.
You wouldn't pray when you were comfortable. You didn't pray when you had air conditioning. You wouldn't pray when you had a full meal. You wouldn't pray on dry land. You wouldn't pray. But all in the belly of a whale, in the belly of a fish, when you done got down as low as you can go, you down. You know, it reminds me. My wife always used this description of Sister Wyvon Nelson. She used to always say, "Oh, this place is going down, down, down. You down. You are down." And now he prays. But you know what? That's all right. Because you need to pray when you down. You ought to pray before you get down. Because what we're going to find today in this lesson, Sister Harris, is that it's all about spiritual protection. You need to be prayed up. There will not never be a time when you don't get down on your knees and ask God for spiritual protection. Because anything can happen to you during the course of a day, in the course of a year. One day you find you got all these great plans. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And all of a sudden, you ain't doing this or that. Because you are being afflicted. You are going down. Verse 2 says what?
And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice.
Jonah is relating this story. He's saying in chapter 1, I didn't pray because I was being disobedient. And when you don't pray, you're being disobedient. Because the word of God says men ought to always pray and seek God's face, that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Men ought to always, women ought to always pray. But let me tell you one thing. One thing I've seen and observed in these few little short years that I've lived, you know, I found out when people get in trouble, they say they can't pray. They say they won't pray, but let them get in some trouble. I came to this church for the second time about the time that the first Gulf War was kicking up. And I've always loved Bible study. And this was a good Bible teaching church. Wednesday night, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday schools, you know, great. And so I done got in and I'm one of those groove sitters, you know. I let y'all decide where y'all want to sit. And when you sit there, my expectation is that you sit there. Because when I sit, I ain't moving. So I done got in my good gospel groove and I'm studying everything. And just a few people showing up, Sister Vanessa. The Gulf War broke out. You couldn't find room in the inn. Sunday, Wednesday, they know how to pray. They pray those little mamby-pamby prayers when everything is going well. You know, they give those little test of lies when everything is going well. You know, I thank God, my Heavenly Father, for my health and strength. I thank Lord. But let something happen. Let something, you know, they praying, they down on their knees. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be not. You're such a good God. You let something happen. Those same folk, you would think that they one of those old baritone deacons out of your early church. They fall down on their knees and, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. Come see about me, Lord. I'm in trouble, Lord. And don't you hear Jonah? Jonah said, I prayed out of my affliction. I'm messed up now. I'm being punished now. Now I'm praying. I'm saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Out of the belly of a fish, he says, out of the belly of my great despair, when I was at my lowest point, when I'm being towed up from the floor up, I cried out to God. And you know why he cried out to God? Because first of all, he knew God. And he knew if anybody can get him out of this dilemma, only God can. Y'all listen, listen, listen. In the latter clause of verse 2 shows the love of God, Robbie. You know what it says? The latter clause, the latter phrase. And he heard. And he heard. Disobedient me. Disobedient me. And he heard me. Wouldn't do what was right. But now that I'm wrong, I'm going back to the right maker. I'm going back to the one who can set me on the right path. And you know what? He heard my voice. Verse 3 says,
for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me.
First of all, you got to understand, I'm in this predicament because God put me here. God is punishing me. See, a lot of folk don't ever want to acknowledge the fact that God will punish. You know what? Most kids believe just because you giving them a spanking that you hate them, that you're mad. And if you do that because you're mad, you're wrong. It ought to be about correcting the performance, the attitude, correcting the situation. But Jonah here seems to be accepting the situation. He's saying, I messed up. And now I'm in the belly of a fish. I'm in the very bowels of hell. And you know what? I'm wondering how many folk in hell are going to accept that it was them that put it in there. Everybody running around talking about, I don't understand how a loving God can send anybody to hell. God don't send nobody to hell. If you go to hell, you go of your own volition. You go with your eyes wide open. It means that you didn't come to no Sunday school classes. You didn't go to no Bible study. You didn't hear no sermons. You didn't listen to no radio. You didn't listen to your friend's witness. If you're there, it's because you are there. But it's too late to be acknowledging something once you're there. This boy's in the belly of a fish. And you know what? Let me tell you what happened. In the middle of the ocean, told you last week, ain't got a chance. Ain't got in the middle of the ocean? Y'all know, y'all been on them cruises. They ain't got no chance. All this water, you know, he's talking about the water compassed, it's being compassed by this water. is because the fish is still doing what the fish do. He's still eating. He done swallowed him whole. And now he's running through the water. And every time he opens his mouth, all that water just coming right in. Ah, he's in bad shape. Verse 4 says,
"Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple."
God, I know you're not looking on me because I sin. But guess what? Even if you're not looking at me, I'm going to look to you. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help, because I know that all my help comes exactly from the Lord. And folks, let's be honest. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble you're in. You always ought to always look to God. And what this verse tells me, even though you may feel like you're outside the sight of God, God is always looking. God has never stopped looking at you. That's how he knows everything you do, everything you think, because he's always looking at you. You're always in his sight. But sometimes you can feel so far away. Y'all can be honest. You've had them days. You had them days, Lord, please. And I tell you what, if you keep on living in America, you don't have some more of them these days. You're going to think, Lord, where are you? When all around you, when you're being compassed by the waters of life, the storms of life, when you're being beat up and tossed and turned and pulled in every direction. You're trying to go right and everything is pushing you left. You want to go up and it's pushing you down. You got to realize, first of all, why am I here? And what am I going to do about it? The question, why am I here, is because I sin. I'm getting exactly what I deserve. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to call on the Lord. And I'm going to find out what he's going to do about it. Because he loves me. God loves me even when I done messed up. And you know what? I think about this thing called suicide. That how can you get so deep in this or distraught, in despair, that you would tend to leave it all? Because God just doesn't care. God, where are you? Where are you when I'm hurting like this? Well, where are you? I'll use you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Bought your daughter, symbol of your motherhood. Ah, great. If your daughter turned to you and punched you in the eye, right now, hard as you can. You wanna try it? Would you be hurt? How so? Mm-hmm. First of all, you know better. Okay? Secondly? Disrespected me. No, no. Yeah, see, she's being real nice. Huh? That's not the Christian thing to do. But you know, isn't the obvious thing that it physically hurt, too? She popped you in the eye. You're physically hurt? But you notice everything that she talked about was more spiritual. Emotional. Emotive. That's how God feels when you disobey. You sock him in the eye. Now, she socked you in the eye, and you would say, you know better? You disrespectful me? And guess what? There's some hell in you that needs to come out. Okay? So now, your feelings. Your mom is just thrashing you. She's all over you. Do you think Oh, she don't love me? When there is a relationship that is close as mother and daughter, mother and son, father, daughter, it defies my sanctified imagination how any child could ever think that their parents just doesn't love them because they're trying to correct their behavior. But you've been there. You pouted. And some of you may have even gone so far as, I wish you were dead. You've seen it. You've heard about them. Oh, I wonder what you're thinking about on this Mother's Day, if you've ever said that. Because all she or he was trying to do was correct a terrible mistake that you were making. So for him to cry out, you left me. And there's one thing I knew about my folk is that they may put the whoop on me, but I knew one thing. It's one thing I knew about from me growing up to the time that I'm the old man that I am. They loved me. They had to be that, but they loved me. And it was demonstrated on a many day, even in their punishment. Because I remember my younger brother, I told you about me last week, but my younger brother, my grandmother was notorious for wearing an apron, always. When she didn't have her Sunday clothes on, she had an apron. And in that apron was some Brown William tobacco and snuff, railroad snuff in one, and then the left one, it's something we can't talk about, but it was always there. And when you saw her walk, you saw that apron before you saw her. That apron would just be soiled. But I remember as a little fellow, and it wasn't until probably one of the reunions that one of the classmates brought up, is that if she came to school because you were acting the fool, she'd wear you out. And I remember they were telling the story of my younger brother who had done something terrible to the family. And she went out to that school. All them teachers did was get in a corner, start praying. And she began to whoop that boy all up from the first grade all the way up to the 12th grade, back down to the first grade. And the guys were saying that when she got through whipping him, she was just talking to him. But when she talked to him, she covered him in this apron from everybody else so that people couldn't see him. So she's talking to the apron. Like I said, this big old sweater. But he would get behind the apron and she's talking to him. Protecting him. Protecting his humanity. That's just like God. He'll discipline you, but he'll protect you. Anything he's doing to you is for your protection. But not only is he trying to protect us in our mess, he's trying to preserve us in our mess. Look at verse 5. The waters.
The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The death follows me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my hand.
I went down.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God.
Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. I've sank this low, yet God has preserved me. I'm down, but I'm not annihilated. I'm down, but I'm not ultimately lost. I'm not out there. That, you know, the weeds, all that seaweed that the whale had got, it was there, it was tangled in his head, you know. He's got to fight all this stuff. He's in a bad situation. But you know what? I seem to be making it. I have not died. I've been preserved. I've been protected. One of the sailors in, I think it was 1926, as a matter of fact, I think it was a French scientist, when they recovered him, he had no hair on his body, period. And there were these yellow, brownish spots all over his body. And some have surmised that it is the excretion of the whale sharks that puts a coat over that human body. And while removing the hair, that yellow and brownish coat that was put there and remained on his skin, I guess even until they died, is what preserved him. God prepared a fish. y'all didn't hear this. Y'all didn't hear this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There ain't no situation that you're going in. There's no discipline that you're going to be subject to that God has not already fixed it up. Yeah, you'll feel bad. You'll be hurt. But guess what? God is protecting you and preserving you. You've sinned, but not unto death. You're separated. You're in despair, but God is right there protecting you and preserving you. It's a whole bunch of you in here. And it was some others, the ones that didn't show up today, they really knew I was going to talk about them. You know, they know that God has protected them and preserved them. All the mess you've been in, and all of it. Okay, I think about old Clarence. He's been in prison 35 years now. You could have been right there with him. Druggies in their grave. You could have been right there with them, messing with folk. You could have been swimming with the fishes right now. But God has protected you and preserved your life because he's got a purpose for you. God protects and preserves because there is purpose in whatever he does. Y'all don't hear me. Maybe it'll be a little clearer in verse 7. When my what? This is where a lot of folk think that Jonah died. But he says his soul fainted. Almost in every case where they've gotten someone out of the belly of a shark whale, they have always been unconscious. Because God protects and preserves. There's some of you that may even have this testimony. I'm thinking of one person in particular, had a very terrible wreck, head-on collision with an 18-wheeler. Head-on collision with an 18-wheeler. Protected and preserved because they're still here with us right now. But they can't tell you what happened during the collision. Have no memory of it because they fainted. Their souls fainted. This is not something that God wanted you because the kind of stuff that Jonah really went through, he thought it was bad. But hell is a lot worse than what we think it is. We don't even have the imagination for it because God wouldn't let us be subjected to anything like that. Because even when he points out pictures in the Bible of hell, you see, and the most notable is Luke 16, where Abraham's bosom, and there's a wide gulf. You don't get into all the insight into what hell is really all about. He says, but just before I fainted, God Almighty, just before I died, I prayed. God, help me. Help me through this. Help me through this. The prayer gets better, though. Because let me tell you one thing. He done changed his mind. He done changed his mind. Let me tell you something, folks. Please don't wait to get to hell to talk about changing your mind. Because let me tell you one thing. Like I said, this is typology. This is a type. Okay, this is a pointer. You won't have that chance in hell. Because we know, even from Luke 16, he says, go back and tell my brothers they don't want to come here. Please go back and tell them. And Abraham said, the poor man said, let me tell you one thing. If they had all the prophets, they had Sunday school teachers, everybody telling you, don't go there. Don't go there. If they don't listen now, they won't listen then. And it'll be too late to listen then. But Jonah says, just before my soul fainted, just before I prayed, and in that prayer, God not only protected me, he preserved me. And he says, if you just keep on reading these few more verses, I'll show you how he preserved me. And I'll tell you what my new thinking is now. Verse 8 says,
they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy.
If you believe in the reality that this is all there is to life, you're forsaking your own mercy. But what Jonah, this verse, these guys have argued and theologians have argued about this verse. Why would Jonah be thinking this at this point? Because let me tell you one thing. All the things that are really real, you know, vanities, we know from Solomon, is just emptiness. That if you tap into this world, if you tap into your ideology, you know, your political view, your religious view, if you think that's all there is to this world, you're forsaking your own mercy. Because there's going to come a time when all those other things, because they are empty, all those vanities, all that emptiness won't mean nothing. The fact that I don't like those Ninevites don't mean one thing now. Matter of fact, those Ninevites are beginning to look real good. Those Assyrians ain't that bad after all. See, before, you know, I told you last week, they were thugs. There ain't no dismissing that now, folks. These were some bad actors. But God told you to go and interact with those bad actors. God gave you a specific job to go and do something. And just because you don't like the assignment, you're going to try and change the assignment? You'll wind up in the belly of a well, your soul fainting, in a smelly belly of the world, seaweed all around your head, water everywhere. You can't have swim, and you got water every day. But they forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the what? Despite my situation. Listen to me, folks. Despite my situation, I give thanks to God. I thank him even in my misery. And Lord, if you don't do anything else for me, you've already done enough. You're still worthy to be praised. Oh, I'm in a tight situation right now. But let me tell you one thing. What I'm going to do, instead of complain, I'm going to praise. I'm going to make a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to make a sacrifice of thanks. Thank you, Lord. And how many of us, we can say it now. But let me tell you one thing. There are many times I was in a whole bunch of trouble. Or I didn't see my way out. And you can believe I started saying, thank you, Lord. No, this is it. This is my last time I may be able to say thanks. Because this, you know, I got to cancel Christmas. That's when you know. When you're going through your worst trials, that's when you know that there's a God. That's when you know you're accepting, you're changing your attitude, when you can start worshiping instead of Whistling Dixie. All those empty vanities don't mean nothing now. I'm in trouble. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give thanks. And you know what? I will pay that I have vowed. Pay a vow? See, we don't have the insight. We'll find out. But it says, I have paid a vow. I will pay a vow. And you know, that's just like y'all say, Nikita, Lord, if you get me out of this time, I go to Sunday school. I go to church. I'll pay my tithes. If you get me out this time. Because let me say, desperate situations calls for desperate prayer. Yeah, it's desperate. But he says, I'm going to thank the Lord, and I'm going to keep my vow. I done changed my mind. I done changed my mind. I'm going to Nineveh. If you get me out of this, I'll wear Nineveh out. I'll go right there. You know how y'all are. And you know what? God knows some of y'all lying, and he still protects and preserves. You know why? He loves you. Y'all better hear this. Hear this on this Mother's Day. No matter what you think about your mama, no matter what your relationship was, I just don't believe that a woman who gives birth to a child does not love them. Now, I realize we live in a perverted society. But the little old vanities, emptiness that you had, you know, between you and your mama, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you, there are many days. I'm reminded, every time Sunday rolls around, I'm reminded that I had a mother and that she really loved me, even when I was an old man. I was retired. And my mother used to call me every Sunday that I'm walking out to go to Sunday school. Are you going to Sunday school today? Mama, like I told you many times, I teach Sunday school. Yeah, I'm going. The things that are important now. But one of the greatest scriptures in all of the Bible is found in the Old Testament. And it's a New Testament concept, most people think. From day one, after the fall of man, salvation has always been a part of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. And Jonah says it right here. Salvation is of the Lord. I tried it my way. I done my way. I did everything my way. He said, go left, I went right. He says, go up, I went down. But I realized one thing. It's not by my works that I'll be delivered. I'm in a situation that I am rendered hopeless and helpless. I realize now, salvation is of the Lord. If I'm to be delivered, if I'm to be preserved, it's got to come from God. Salvation is of the Lord. And I don't have time to do it because we're out of time. But I'm going to tell you what, for you guys that are in basic doctrine, ooh, y'all were going to get a whole bunch of questions answered today. Because when we start talking about salvation, which we're going to talk about Tuesday night, we're going to talk about the ordo salutis, you know, the order of salvation, you know, how it is past, present, and future. And it's right there. It's right there in Jonah. In Jonah 2. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Jonah is talking to God. Boy, y'all don't know. Ooh, I tell you what, basic doctrine, come to basic doctrine. I'm going to be on this. Jonah is talking, Terry. God didn't talk to Jonah. God talked to the fish. It is the fish. And Jonah. deliverance is dependent on my sovereignty, that I can do anything with anybody whenever I want to. And I ain't got to include you even in your own deliverance. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he saved you. He says, fish, I called you. I prepared you. You were responsive. Now, fish, I'm calling you one more time. Listen up, fish. This man has got to be protected. And this man has got to be preserved. He's got to be protected and preserved to serve out my purpose. Fish, come here. Did you notice he said, salvation is of the Lord? Fish, come here. The two signs in Christianity for us, the two symbols that are so powerful, Sister Calvin, is the cross and the fish. But why the fish? Most folk think, you know, it's about, I called you to be fishermen of men. But when you look at Jesus and his title, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. The acrostic in the Greek just happens to be, just happens to be, I-C-H-T-Y-S means Christ. Means fish. Jesus the Christ, Son of God, Savior, means fish. Fish, deliverer. Fish, deliverer. Fish, you're the source of the salvation. Fish, come forth. And the fish came forth. And but according to science, if that fish vomited him up, the fish was dying. So because of Jonah's sin and Jonah's disobedience, another creature now has to give up his life so that he could live. y'all go. Because I can't. I see y'all next week. God loves us. God just loves us.